back to the Homeschool Conversation podcast, where we talk all things homeschool. On today's episode, we will be discussing homeschooling multiple children. This is a question I get all the time from moms who are homeschooling multiple children, or if they just have a toddler and they're homeschooling an older child. It can be a lot to manage struggling through that and to divide your time, to divide your energy and your patience. So join me on today's episode as we dive into this very relevant topic. Okay, so if you are homeschooling multiple children and you are finding that it is difficult for you to divide your time and energy, resources, and patience amongst them, then just know that you're not alone. I think every homeschool mom has struggled through this until they found a system that works for them. So what's important is that you keep trying different systems until you find something that works. And another thing that's important is reminding yourself that just because something works now doesn't mean that it's going to work forever. So I think just recognizing that systems are systems that work temporarily and not forever is a really important part of growing in managing multiple children in the homeschool world. So with that being said, I want to share some systems that have worked for me, and these are systems that I've had to swap in and out of as I see that the seasons change. I find that the seasons in my homeschool change too. So one of the systems I use, for example, is I try to find curriculums that will be inclusive of both children so that I'm able to teach them both at the same time. So if you have children that are older, and I'm not referring to toddlers, then this is really ideal because then you're able to teach a lesson to both children and then just have them both do their own level of work. So for example, if you were going to be teaching about birds, then you can teach about birds, where they come from, what they eat, so on and so forth. And then the lesson would be at different levels for the 5-year-old, for the 7-year-old, for the 9-year-old, for the 12-year-old, for the whatever age old you have. But at least you're not having to teach multiple lessons. You can use that same content to teach at a different level depending on your child's abilities. And so in that way, you're able to have all of the kids learning together at the same time. They're motivated by each other because they see that they're all working. And so this can be a great way to bond your family together. And one of my favorite resources for doing this is called Gather Round. It's a brand new curriculum that just came out last year. And it's actually written by a homeschool mom of 5, so she knows what she's talking about. And so what she did was she created workbooks at different levels for a pre-reader, which is like about a 3 or 4-year-old, all the way up to high school level. So any child's level that you have in that group, basically from 3 up to 18, you could print out a workbook and then a teacher's guide. And you would be able to all work together on the same content. So that has been definitely a very different experience for us, just having the exposure to that curriculum. If you find that having your children working together at the same time is distracting on some days, or that they're fighting and it's just not working to have them at the table at the same time, another option is to have alternating days for each child that's designated for them. So I know that can be scary because you're expecting that you need to cover all 4 subjects every day with each child, and that's just not the case. So for example, you could have Mondays be the day that you go through all the subjects with one child, and then Tuesdays be another day that you go through all the subjects with another child, and on those days the other child gets to have free play or free time to explore a passion or free time to play a game. So they can still be engaged in an educational activity without needing to have your focused attention. And so what this does is it really gives concentrated attention to one child. You really get to escape the multitasking trap for a day, and you get to really hone in on what are the things that they're hesitating on, what are the things that they're struggling with, and really uplift them in their areas of weakness. So I highly recommend giving this a try. Even if you do opt for the gather round approach, you can still do this. And ironically, I still do have to do this, even when I have curriculums that encourage us to sit together. I still find that my children just have different times of the day that work for them better, And so I'll sit with one at night, I'll sit with one during the day, and that's just when their brains work better. And so I want to capitalize on that by finding that time of the day that works best for their brain. And so it's really great to have one-on-one time with your kids. Another option for homeschooling multiple children is to have designated subjects for the day. So if you don't feel like you're able to get through all four subjects each day, which most people do struggle with getting to all four subjects every day for multiple children, it can be a lot. And it can be hard to get it all done well all the time. So I just want to put that disclaimer out there on the table right away, that if you're trying to cover all the subjects every day and do it well with a smile on your face and dinner cooked, it can be a lot. And so it's good to have some useful tips and tricks up your sleeve for the days that you just feel like you can't do it. So what we can do sometimes is we can actually have Science Tuesdays and History Wednesdays and Art Thursdays and Language Arts Fridays, and whatever it is that you want to call it, you can incorporate this into your homeschool, and it's a great way to actually focus on a subject in a really meaningful, patient, and slow, savory type of way. So I really encourage you to give this a try, especially if it's over the summer and it's a time that you maybe are feeling a little bit more relaxed, to give something a try without feeling the pressure of falling behind or not catching up to where you should be. The summer is a great time to try out different approaches to homeschooling. So a great place to start with this is to just do it with one subject. Maybe make it Reading Fridays, where all day Friday you just focus on reading and language arts and writing. And that could be your day that you are still learning history. You could be reading history topics or reading science topics, but your focus is going to be on reading together and writing about what you're reading about. And you can do this around a cup of tea with some music on, with candles. You could do this outside at the park on a picnic blanket. And these are just things that help make the experience of learning together a little bit more fun. Now, if you have infants and toddlers that are destructive and disruptive and not allowing you to get much done, I have two of those. I have twins who are going to be two in August, and then I have my 7 and 9-year-old that I homeschool, and this is my third year homeschooling. So I've been through every stage of the infant journey through our homeschooling, from pregnancy with twins all the way through infant into where I am now with toddlers. So I've been homeschooling my children through that whole experience, and I can tell you, I relate to you, I understand you, and I feel you. So one of my favorite things about homeschooling is that there are lessons that come up in life that are not just the ones you teach them in the books. And I came across this article called "The Baby is the Lesson," and it changed the way that I saw my toddler's interruptions forever. So for example, the article, I will link it in my show notes, it is about a mom realizing how much her baby's birth and presence has taught her children about being loving, being patient, realizing that the world isn't about you anymore, and that we're here to help each other and to be kind to each other and to be compassionate towards each other, and basically all the stages of development, from the pregnancy development stages all the way through the birth to the fact that babies can't see color. It was just a fascinating concept for me to realize that my kids don't know anything about babies. The world is brand new to my kids, and they don't know what babies can do and can't do. So I encourage you that if you're at that stage of pregnancy or really tiny infant babies and you're trying to homeschool through that, I would really encourage you to capitalize on the new experience that you're going through right now that your kids will never have experienced before and probably will not learn about in their books. Use this opportunity to teach them and to answer their questions and really dive into videos and books together about things they're curious about with pregnancy and babies. And so even if they're not curious, you can still kind of spark their curiosity by bringing up little things about what babies can and can't do or how the pregnant woman's body changes. And so this could be a great way for you guys to bond and for you to make the baby be the lesson. So, of course, children are going to go through an adjustment period psychologically when a new baby is being added to the family. So it can be a difficult time for you to push on them and require them to be focused and require them to have the best attention span when psychologically they're going through a big shift, just as you are too, hormonally even. So this is a period of time to give yourself and your kids a lot of grace and a lot of kindness and a lot of patience, because it's going to be difficult for them to adjust. And when I was expecting my twins, we went to baby classes for siblings where they got to learn how to change a diaper and they got to learn how to make a bottle. And we read books about the new responsibilities of being a big sister. And we talked about different privileges they were going to have now that they were a sibling, things that they normally wouldn't be allowed to do, but now they would be allowed to do, like taking a bubble bath or taking daddy to get ice cream alone. Like these little special things that normally we don't do, but now that you're a big sister, you get to do them. So it kind of gave them a positive association with being a big sibling, not just being a helper, but also getting extra privileges that the baby's not allowed to have. And so I recommend doing this even if you don't have a new baby anymore. If you just have a disruptive toddler, I really suggest giving your older children some incentive and some extra privileges just to kind of reward them for pushing through their interruptions. That can be difficult for a child to have to do. But I do think it's actually a healthy exercise for children, teenagers, for them to realize that babies and toddlers are disruptive, and you have to learn how to be patient with them and to learn how to redirect them. And that's a skill that even adults struggle with. So for children to learn that skill as a child, I think it's beneficial to them. I don't think that they should have to shoulder that all alone, but I feel like with your guidance, it's really helpful and you shouldn't feel guilty about it. So it's important to have realistic expectations. When you have a baby or a toddler and you're homeschooling older children, I would highly recommend having realistic expectations, which means don't expect your baby or toddler to give you 40 minutes, even 30 minutes of uninterrupted time. I think take those interruptions and show your children how you respond to an interruption. That way your children learn how to respond to an interruption. So if you respond to an interruption with irate impatience and screaming or just extreme frustration, then your children are going to learn to respond to interruption that way. And the real world is full of interruptions. We have to learn how to take our interruptions and use them as opportunities to learn and to grow and to challenge ourselves in whatever areas we're struggling with. I know for me, I struggle with that too. I struggle with having patience and struggle with getting back on task. So there are different tricks and tips for that, and that's a whole separate episode about multitasking and organizing your day and creating to-do lists and all that sort of thing. But I feel like for me, it all starts in the mind and in the heart, and your perspective and your way of thinking has to be shifted towards positive thinking, a type of thinking where you're going to expect the interruptions, but what am I going to do when I get interrupted? How am I going to respond? How am I going to show my children that interruptions are normal and they're going to happen? We expect them, but that doesn't mean we get off task and we get distracted. And if we do get distracted, it's okay to give our mind a mental break and to come back to something. So I feel like that's such an important place to start, is just in your mind expecting to be interrupted. When my twins were younger, I did do a lot of baby carrying too. And yes, I did wear both of my twins, one on the back and one on the front. And that was one of the only ways I could get them to be quiet while I did any type of work with my older kids. And so that was a lifesaver for me in the beginning. And as they got bigger, it got more difficult to hold them both. So I would just hold one on my back, like a backpack style, which is so much better for your body to wear a baby on your back than to wear them on your front. And so this is an important thing. If you're not into baby carrying, homeschooling will kind of encourage you to give it a try, because it frees up your hands, it frees up your mind to just focus on your older kids. And your baby likes being close to you, likes being up high. So they're going to be quiet for a longer period of time. You know they're safe while they're up there. And so it's just a win-win to do baby carrying. I really recommend the Lily Baby or the Ergo Baby Carrier. Those are both of the carriers for single ones. If you have twins also, then I recommend the Twingo baby carrier. Those are the ones that I've used and I've loved. So speaking of redirecting, something that is very popular in the homeschool world is having busy boxes. I haven't created a busy box for my toddlers, but I have created the concept in different ways by basically allowing them to be busy with something while I give my older children focused attention. The majority of our focused homeschooling does happen when my twins are napping, so they nap for an hour and a half a day now, so it's very, very few nappings that happen. And they don't go to bed early, so it's not like I can do things after they go to bed, really. But when they are napping, that is like the time that I focus on my older children doing harder subjects, like if there's math or if there's a messy science project or a baking idea they have, the nap is when that happens. Otherwise, if they want to learn something or read something together and the babies are awake, what I'll do is I'll let my twins watch Cocomelon. That's our favorite go-to. It's the easiest thing to get them distracted. And Cocomelon is a YouTube channel that has words on the screen. It is singing, cartoon, and my toddlers love it. So on the days I feel guilty about letting them watch that, I'll let them watch Alpha Blocks, which is a phonics show. It teaches them about sounds of letters. And another idea that I have been using recently is sign language for kids. And my toddlers love watching this woman's sign language on YouTube. So if you type in sign language for babies on YouTube, you'll see there is a woman at the beach singing songs about words, and my toddlers have actually learned sign language from watching her. So those are some electronic ideas. I know a lot of families are trying to move away from screens. I personally use it as my tool, and I don't park my kids in front of it all day. They get certain amounts of time, and that varies depending on what my needs are. So I've been trying to let go of the guilt with the screen time. But for the families who are very strict about screen time, another idea is to have things that your child normally doesn't get to play with out for them during school hours. So we don't really have school hours in our house. We kind of learn all the time, whether it's morning or nighttime, whether it's the weekends or it's summertime, we're always learning. But what I mean is during the times that we're doing focused activities and I need the toddlers to be distracted so they don't destroy it, what I'll do is I'll let my toddlers have something to keep them busy. So whether that's Play-Doh or it's like watercolor paint or it's kinetic sand, or it's something like a snack that they normally wouldn't be able to have. It's just about getting like 10 to 20 minutes alone with your older kids. And you can't really expect more than that sometimes with younger children. So if you have a small baby or a toddler, you may not be able to distract them for long. And I feel like a lot of parents expect that they'll be able to distract their baby or toddler for an hour. And that's just not realistic. Thank you.